This week on Tax Justice Warriors, I will be looking at tax research as I discuss what I will be teaching during the tax procedure course at Washburn University School of Law. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
This week, I am turning to tax research as I am reviewing the topics that I am teaching during the tax procedure course at Washburn University School of Law. And to some degree, tax research might be basic for some of you individuals out there, but it is always a good fundamental to have available and something we all need to do in our tax careers. So I do not hold myself out to be an expert on tax research, so I am going to have the first half of the course this week be a guest lecture with Thomas Sneed, the library director for the Washburn University Law Library, and he is also an associate professor of law at the university that he teaches various courses there, that he is going to show the students different online research available to the students, the various subscriptions that they have available through the law library. And then I am going to take over with the lecture, and we're going to have a bit of a scramble where the students will be in two teams competing to give answers on different tax topics that they find online. So to begin with, I first learned tax research roughly 10 years ago, and I will admit that when I was a law student, we were certainly in more of a transition where we were learning about both the physical copies of texts and other materials available within a law library and just what was available through online resources. And that is one piece that we will be touching on, is that nowadays so many students are, or so many law students or new practitioners, they are turning mainly to online resources. So that is an issue for law libraries of just how much of the physical materials to have available on hand. And for example, at Washburn, they're looking at building a new law school. So that is always a consideration to stay current and relevant, to attract more new students enrolling. So that it's a question in building a new law library, just how many of the current materials to keep within the library and just what physical materials are necessary when keeping a law library current. So I do admit that in law school I had my physical copies of textbooks and the Internal Revenue Code. Now certainly it had selected code sections, but I did tab my code so that I would be able to flip through it handily, and if there were open book final exams, that I would have it available for use that way. But I was also quite impressed with the BNA tax management portfolios. I do have a couple examples of those to show the students, that I found them to be quite comprehensive and thorough in discussions of the various topics. So letting them know some examples of what was useful in the past. And I had considered using the textbook for the class as being effectively representing your client before the IRS. The American Bar Association publication, but that can be $249 to $299. And while I find it to be an excellent resource, I did not want to require the students to be paying that much for textbooks. Now, also, when I was working at H&R Block in their research department, we used something called the Taxbook, and I do find that to be a handy resource that each year, if you are wanting to be able to answer just what are the credit or deduction requirements for a particular year, it is tabbed and a good resource that you can turn to if you're needing to answer client questions for a particular year. Now, what has been nice is that Nina Olson has arranged for the low-income taxpayer clinics to have tax news subscriptions available. And so we can receive daily, or well, each weekday, daily emails regarding developments at the federal and state level. Another good resource is the Thomson Reuters RIA Checkpoint. That is a great database where you can enter in search terms, and they have several resources available that you can search through. But once again, based on funding, some of these are quite expensive resources. So within your firm or tax clinic, you may be limited on the budget that you can use. Now, going through primary and secondary sources, I will admit I have a tricky time noting which are primary and secondary. I certainly believe that the Internal Revenue Code and opinions from the tax court are primary sources, but beyond that, certain ones can get fuzzy for me on what are secondary sources from the IRS or the tax court. So certainly I would research those different materials, just checking whether they should be considered a primary source or whether they are just persuasive. So certainly treatises, periodicals, and websites are secondary sources. But I wanted to mention different materials available from the IRS. The Internal Revenue Manual is available online, so you can read through what is IRS policy on various topics. It is a lengthy manual. There are various subsections, so it can be quite a bit to wade through if you're looking for a particular topic. And since it is available online, it is available to the public, but they do redact certain parts that they believe would hurt them in litigation or other areas, so they have held those back from the public. Now, I wanted to mention that revenue rulings are official IRS interpretations. Private letter rulings are specifically for one specific case that a person has asked for a letter ruling from the IRS before filing their tax return, or there is a technical advice memorandum that would be based on after filing their tax return. Now, these are materials that are specific to a person's case. They are not specific, or they are not general enough to apply to everyone, so they would be persuasive, but they cannot be relied on as broadly applying to everyone. Now, in the course, when we turn to the competition at the end, I will be asking some questions about the procedurally taxing website, about the Taxpayer Advocate Service, the American Bar Association section of taxation, the tax court website, and so on. Just as a general way of getting the students familiar with those various sites. Now, granted, those are sites that I use more and I'm more connected with. But just as a matter of letting them know different places to look online to get different answers and feedback regarding the topics they would be working on. For example, if they wanted to get started on researching, that they would not just be putting in a general web search, that they could actually go to a specific website, look up the materials, and go from there on a particular topic. So overall, I do not hold myself out to be an expert on tax research. I wanted to get them familiar with some different tools and hope this will help them get started. So perhaps this will be a useful refresher for you. Maybe I mentioned an item that you were not familiar with. I hope this helps you out. Thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.